Welcome to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner, where we're committed to helping you think like an entrepreneur and gain an exponential advantage. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. And now, get ready for the eMind.
Listen, folks, have you ever had an idea that you said, I should do something about that? That's exactly what my guest said, but he actually also did it. And that's why he's super successful. This is Cooper Peterson. Welcome to the show, Cooper.
Hey, thank you very much, Dr. Oberbrunner. It's an honor to be on here.
Listen, man, I'm so proud of you. I tuned in from Columbus, Ohio last February, I believe it was, the pitch.
Yeah.
The pitch. So some people might not know what the pitch is. Give people an idea what the pitch is. And then let's also talk about maybe how that was even a good catalyst to get your idea rolling. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. So the pitch here at Cedarville University was an opportunity for students to present their ideas to a group of judges, their business ideas, for the opportunity to win a monetary prize that they could put back into their business. And so, I had the opportunity to do that. I'm a graduate student now with a master's of innovation entrepreneurship here at Cedarville. But at the time I was an environmental science student finishing up my senior year. And so I heard about it through Dr. Priggy. I was in his entrepreneurship accelerator course reached out to him and he gave me some advice and went into the pitch and gave it my best shot. So
that's fantastic. So you did a really good job. In fact, you did so well that I think didn't you win a prize?
Yes. Yeah. I got fourth place. And so that was a $200 prize and I'll take it, man. It's very helpful for people just starting out their business. So,
oh yeah. So let's talk about this because I'm assuming you didn't say one day, I want to be an entrepreneur. Instead, you saw a problem with a glove. And I think that's where all entrepreneurs start, is they kind of see something in the world that they wish they had. They see a problem. What give us kind of the timeline. When did you find this problem? When did you think maybe I could do something about it? Kind of take us through this.
All right. So I'm a cross country athlete here at Cedarville, do cross country and track and run with the team a lot in cold weather. You know, we got to do our workouts in Ohio when it's January and the wind's blowing across the cornfields and it can be a pretty biting wind out there. And so I like to have quality gear when I run because I don't want something like the cold slowing me down. Mm. And so I purchased like a $50 pair of running gloves from a reputable brand. And I was like, oh, surely these are going to keep me warm on my run. But to my dismay, out there in the cold, my hands were freezing and I was like, man, I just need to finish this run. Otherwise I feel like I'm going to get like frostbite or something like that. And so a really unique thing that I noticed, when I was with my team running is that when our hands got cold, we actually like just by instinct took our fingers out of like the little compartments of the hands and wrapped them up into a ball just to decrease that surface area of heat transfer out to the environment. And so I was like, well, there's gotta be a better way to keep your hands warm while running. So you can, you know, finish your workout with, you know, a little bit warmer hands. And so,
I know exactly what you're saying. I mean, I've done this before where I've even been cycling. So, you know, I like bike riding, but I mean, there's been times where you're right. It is so cold. You didn't plan on going out and it being that cold. So I know this is not safe, but I've even had gloves where I know what you're saying. You take your hands out of the fingers and you kind of put them. And I've even rode the handlebar like that because it's your fingers are more important than looking cool.
Right. For sure.
So you found that natural position. And then what happens next?
Yeah, so I noticed this among my teammates and among myself. And I heard of some people actually putting socks on their hands, just like, you know, like socks that they'd wear around. And they're not built for thermal capabilities. They're not built to block wind. I tried it and it actually worked better than my gloves, but it wasn't very comfortable at all. So I noticed this problem. I wanted to do something about it. You know, my brother, he is, for whatever reason, he's very susceptible to cold hands. And if you've ever been out there and you come back from a cold weather exercise, you get that piercing pain in your hands. And so when they start to stop being numb and warm up.
Sure.
And so it's something that I wanted to solve this because I want people to be able to finish their workouts in the cold, not have weather be something that hinders them from reaching their max potential athletically. And so I thought about it for a few months. And then last summer I decided that I was going to do some research. And I came up with a document, laid out a plan of what I was going to do. Contacted my grandma who has some sewing experience, and for a week straight, we pretty much just like, we're building prototypes in her basement.
Oh, this is good. This is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a quote in the entrepreneurship world. It says, the Wright brothers didn't have a pilot's license.
Mm.
And I almost feel like with that, the gloves, you know, Cooper did not have a production license. In other words, you didn't know enough to say, maybe I shouldn't do this or something. Like, you just jumped into it. I love it. Do you think that's an important characteristic of entrepreneurs?
Yeah, I do think it is. And there's definitely a risk of time and a risk of effort. And I think it's good to do research beforehand, but it's kind of cliche, but you never know until you try. And I knew that like ownership and entrepreneurship is something that I wanted to achieve someday. And so, you know, at some point you just got to sit down and count the cost and say, all right, I'm going to take the chance. I'm going to take the risk and see what happens.
I love it. So you did take a chance, and I think, I don't know, maybe May, Jim Stevenson, Dr. Rick Prigge jumped on, and you, and we basically peppered you with thoughts, questions, concerns. How important was that? Did you walk away encouraged, discouraged? You know, in other words, I guess this would be the type of phase in the entrepreneurship process where you've done prototype, but now you have truth tellers that are kind of coming around you and saying, what about this? How was that experience? And do you think entrepreneurs should have, I don't know, a trusted group of truth tellers at some point?
Yeah, no, that was extraordinarily encouraging. I think for a number of reasons. First, it's because, well, it's like I have this idea in my mind and I'm gauging interest around people my age. But to be honest, like, I don't know exactly what I'm doing. I'm a student. I'm trying to figure this out for myself. And to have someone who's a little bit older, who has more experience, who's done this before, who's been through the process, to say, yeah, like, keep going. That was a huge encouragement. And it allowed me to take the next step forward because it gave me some more confidence in like, that. Yeah, that this is a good path to keep going on.
One of the things Jim said on that call was, you have a really cool design. You have developed intellectual property, but you have to protect that. Now, how important do you think that is? And I know we're going to talk about easy IP, but when you first heard that of like, hey, your idea is pretty cool, but other people can just copy it. I don't know what was going on in your head.
Yeah, and that was definitely something I was concerned about. My design is something that I felt like someone that it could be reverse engineered in a different way. I'm inexperienced when it comes to knowledge about patents, and you know, there's a certain capital that's required to go through the whole process. I was at a point where I didn't know exactly what to do. I was at the point where, you know, maybe I'll just take a chance and hope no one copies it or try to build the brand. But yeah, through Easy IP, this was a great, great alternative. And yeah, you and Travis came alongside and really helped me to find a way to more cheaply protect my intellectual property. And so, yeah, it's important. You know, I don't plan on selling the business at any point. But if I were to, it's, you know, people who are looking to buy up businesses want to have some intellectual property, something that was protected. And so for, you know, for now it's important, and for also in the future to have this protected. So,
for those who don't know, a patent will cost 1 to 3 years of time and around $20,000. 88% of patents are rejected the first time, which requires more legal fees and more time. Obviously, that's quite a big price tag for somebody who has a really cool idea, but doesn't have a lot of backing. So what we did, Cooper, is with your permission, we basically said, hey, we're willing to give this to you, no charge. And what we want to do is we want to show the world that this EZIP is helping students. It's good for you. It's honestly good for us. It's good publicity, quite frankly. So it was a good thing. But we created a token for you right here. You click that token. You now are listed on the blockchain. And what we did is, sure enough, 70 days ago, June 27th, 2023, we essentially protected all three of your drawings, IP. We created a smart contract. We turned these into digital assets. So now you can go back, and if anyone ever says, hey, listen, I came up with that idea and, you know, it's September 5th. Well, now we can go back and say, you know what? June 27th, Cooper had that idea. You're in violation. Now, any IP in the world, you need to defend. So don't think like, just saying you need to take it down. But what you do then is you basically create a takedown letter that documents your IP. And now all of a sudden, competitors are like, whoa, Cooper's got easy IP. Cooper's got smart contracts. Cooper has an immutable timestamp. Do we really want to fight this in court with Cooper? And then Cooper, how much confidence does that give you as a entrepreneur with a product out in the market?
Well, it gives me the confidence to keep moving forward, particularly because there are other brands out there that have a lot more capital that could easily, you know, reverse engineer this thing. And I can move forward putting my time and energy and finances into this, knowing that there's a lot better chance that of success because it's less likely to be copied.
Yeah. Yeah, we actually call this term a pre-patent. We've essentially trademarked that name. I'm not opposed to people using patents, trademarks, copyrights, trade secrets. Those are kind of the four that the USPTO, United States Patent Trademark Office, suggests. But what I am against is this huge bar of time and money and lawyers and paperwork and friction to just say, you know what, I'm going to protect an idea. And I feel like, Cooper, there's a lot of Cedarville students that have really good ideas, don't you think? I mean, we're even looking at this pitch entry database. There's quite a few. Why do you think young people or people in general have ideas?
Well, I think, there's a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons I think young people have this problem is because young people are at a very unique time in history. They're growing up with a certain set of technologies. The world's changing at a rapid pace, and they're kind of being thrust into this. And I think it's an opportunity for them to see a lot of different problems that they have to face and overcome.
Yeah.
And young people have a great imagination as well. And they want, they have the desire to make an impact on the world and to leave their mark. And I think that's pretty common, especially among college students. And here at Cedarville, there's the passion to do something. And I think that's really important.
I got to read this quote for you. I'm going to read the quote. You tell me the year. Okay. Take a guess. There's a guy named Charles H. Duell, D-U-E-L-L. He was the commissioner of the U.S. Patent Office. Okay. And he's widely quoted as having said, everything that can be invented has been invented. When do you think he said that?
I have no clue. 1920.
Yeah. So That's a good guess. So, right. So somebody might say, okay, in 1920, things were being invented fast. You know, maybe he said that as like, okay, no, nothing ever is going to be invented again. No, it was, check this out. It was 1889. Wow. So imagine like everything that I'm holding, right? Everything that I'm holding here. I mean, crazy stuff, right? Like all this stuff, right? Like squishy balls, like everything that I'm looking at here was invented after 1889. And yet that guy's like, eh. But let's talk about that. Don't you think that along the way entrepreneurs meet naysayers? I mean, couldn't someone be like, that's stupid, man. That gloves thing. I mean, come on, dude. It's like a sock on your hand. Yet, who knows? Like, everything I'm looking at right now could be dumb, and yet it's something that got money and people paid for. What do you ever meet naysayers along the way, Cooper?
Well, I feel I have a very supportive group of friends here at Cedarville, but you know, there are questions that people ask, like, you know, how are you going to fund this? And you know, what are you going to do if this doesn't work out? And you have to, I mean, that's something you really should consider. Like what are the answers to those questions? But also like, but what if it does work out and there's huge opportunity? And it's just something that when you hear the naysayers, it's important to hear what they have to say, but also, you know, trust your own intuition as well.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think it's a balance of listening, but also having confidence in yourself and listening to the people that are also going to support you.
I know you've had a biblical training at Cedarville. Everybody gets a Bible minor. They have to study in that way. I don't see squirrels and coyotes having meetings saying, let's go invent some things. You know, let's invent the coyote killer or something like that. Like, I know that's kind of silly, but why do you think humans are the one species that are called to create?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in Genesis, it says that we're made in the image of God. And so God has given us the ability to take dominion and to steward. And we're supposed to, you know, to work. We're going to work for our food by the sweat of our brow. And he's given us this creative power. And I think it was Wayne Grudem's book, Business for the Glory of God, where it talks about how we can God has allowed us to co-create in a sense with him. Obviously it's a little bit different, but he's given us that creative ability to solve problems and like improve like common grace. Like, you know, with the advances of medicine and technology, like we have this blessing from God, to live healthier and better lives essentially, in some ways. So I think it's purely God's gift to us. Yeah.
That's great. So I know you mentioned Dr. Prigge, some Jim Stevenson. There's been some people along the way, Dr. Heyman, people who started the pitch. Like, just do a shout out of some names, because I want people to realize that, you know, whether it's EZIP or Globs or anything, it takes a whole group effort. And who are some other people that have helped you along the way, or you'd like to thank?
Yeah. One of the perks of being at the pitch is that I was able to connect to the judges at the pitch and wow. Scott Moffitt of Ideal Strategic Partners. He's been mentoring me, wow. which has been huge, being able to meet with him. And that's been a huge blessing. My parents have been a great support and they're on board and they're encouraging me along the way. Nathaniel Davis and the library. He's been helpful with market research and, you know, he's been a great encouragement as well. So like there's no way I could be on this process just by myself. There's been a lot of people have already poured into me, and I've learned so much from them.
Awesome. So you just graduated?
I graduated, this spring with my degree in environmental science. And then now I'm doing the MA program of innovation entrepreneurship here at Cedarville.
Talk about both. I know we got about 9 minutes left, but talk about the undergrad and talk about this new program over at the International Center for Creativity.
Okay. Yeah. So Yeah, growing up, I just always loved to be outside. I loved learning about God's creation, and I just wanted to. I wanted my idea going into college is, you know, I want to work what I love to learn about. And so at that point in time, it was heavily science based. And so that was something I'm still interested in. And I think my environmental science degree was well worth it. Something interesting that, you know, people ask me, well, you know, you're doing environmental science now, or you did environmental science, but now you're doing a business. Like, how are you going to mesh those two? Are you going to mesh those two? And I've had to do some thinking about that. For me, environmental science, learning the scientific method, how to critically think through research papers and synthesize your own thoughts using evidence, I think really that has given me a pattern of thinking that has allowed me to want to be an entrepreneur.
Wow.
Just because it has taught me ways to view the world and ways to gather data. And I think that's true for a lot of other majors. You know, you see a lot of engineers that become entrepreneurs, and all sorts of majors have the ability, all sorts of people with different backgrounds have the ability to become an entrepreneur. And so I'm very thankful for my education in environmental science at Cedarville. And it's not to say I won't use it in the future. I think there's lots of ways to expand, to develop businesses in environmental science using principles of biology to make things more efficient and the like. And so, you know, maybe that's something down the road that I'll pursue. And regarding the MA Innovation Entrepreneurship Program, I think it's maybe the third year here at Cedarville that it's been going on. So it's a relatively new program. I just started two classes and I'm learning a lot about the business world. And I think it's a huge blessing to be able to get my background in environmental science and then, you know, learn about business now. And so I'm excited. I haven't been in a lot of the entrepreneurship innovation focused classes just yet, but I'm more than excited to in the future. So
Cedarville's put some dollars behind their commitment to expand entrepreneurship at Cedarville. One is me coming as the chair of entrepreneurship, but you've also recently sat in our Q meeting, Cedarville University Entrepreneurship Student Group. I know you're now out of college, but as you look now and see what's kind of developing and you see these student leaders coming together and you're even kind of mentoring some of them, what do you think is coming for Cedarville in terms of entrepreneurship? What do you see? I don't know. You've been there longer than me, but do you see a growing interest? Do you see a passion? Do you see that we're kind of like on the verge of something? Maybe give us some vision here.
Yeah. I know there are people, especially in Q, Cedarville Entrepreneurship Org, they want to see Cedarville become like a champion of entrepreneurship. And I think as Christians, it is a way that we can really steward our resources well and bring blessing to other people. And so I think one of the things that I like to think about is I think it's important to kill Christian mediocrity. I think it's important to do the hard thing and, you know, make a new business or solve a problem and use that as a way to, you know, give glory to God and for evangelistic purposes. Mm-hmm. So I think here at Cedarville, we have a lot of people who are grounded in that purpose, who want to make a difference for Christ, and they want to be his tool for whatever he has for them. And so I think there's a great potential for there to be exponential growth. And as you would say, souls ignited for entrepreneurship. And already with our org, we have people of all different majors who are joining, not just business majors.
Yes.
So I think there's a huge potential, you know, not just a business school business thing, but a campus wide way for people to have the entrepreneurial mindset and use entrepreneurship skills in their majors and their backgrounds to develop something special. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Man, I feel like there's some real favor God's given us, lots of connections, lots of people believing in us. We've felt that support even from the top. So how can people find out more about you? Let's say they're listening to this podcast. They say, oh my gosh, this Globs thing is amazing. My son, my daughter, my nephew, my husband, my wife. They're like, I want this product. What can they do now?
Yeah. So I'm in the process of getting my website launched, and it should be done fairly soon.
So we'll just assume that when they listen to this, it is done.
Okay.
So even if they hit it now and it says coming soon, it doesn't matter. But what is that website?
Runglubs.com.
Yeah, runglubs.com. And I'm gonna bring something up so they can see the spelling. And let's assume that so runglubs.com. Let's assume that you have examples up there soon that they can order. Are you going to be trying different colors, different, you know, give us some thoughts on, is there advanced prototypes coming? What do you got?
Yeah. So right now I just have one variation. It's a weather resistant, thermal insulated mitt, with reflective logos on it. So it's kind of like the base model pretty much has everything in one. And I'll be developing social, I'll be on the social platform soon. And so I'll be posting pictures of that as well. And, I'll have pictures on the website. Perfect. So yeah, we're starting off with one, but, based on feedback, we'll see if we can expand.
Man, I could see like a whole team purchasing these and, families, and man, I see so much opportunity. This is really cool, man. So we're proud of you. And anything that you want to say to somebody who is thinking of an idea, thinking about entrepreneurship, you know, you've come a long way. What would you say to somebody who's starting the journey?
Yeah, I think it's important to count the cost and know it's going to be a challenge. But I don't think that should be a hindrance. Mm. And so the only way you're actually going to do something is if you take that first step forward. With the understanding that it's gonna take some extra work, it's gonna be a challenge, but in the end, it's gonna be worth it.
Awesome, I love it. Well, listen, Cooper, we will be following you on different social platforms. I know that starting a business is a big thing, and so it's kind of fun to catch you now, and then we'll have to bring you back on the show when you have more and more, and we'll kind of trace this journey of you. And we're just so grateful that Cedarville is a place that supports entrepreneurs. So thank you for being with us today, Cooper.
Yeah, thank you very much, Dr. Oberbrunner.
Thank you for listening to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Cary Oberbrunner. We look forward to hearing from you and how you're applying the eMind. Please share your story by submitting a review on your platform of choice. We read every single one. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. Visit ignitingsouls.com/emind and cedarville.edu for more help in your entrepreneurial journey.